Welcome, everybody, to the Locked on Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. In a second, I am going to go ahead and jump into the show. In segment one, I am going to break down the game. I was really impressed by Anthony Davis and then obviously Talen Horton-Tucker. And I offer up a trend in the games that the Lakers have looked the most impressive. I answered your guys' questions in segments two and three, starting with whether I think the Lakers are good. If I still doubt Talen Horton-Tucker, somebody asked me to call them washed so that they can finish strong for their semester, this semester in college or in school. And I believe there was one more question in there about fans being in the stands for this one. So that was in segment one. And then in segment two, I answered some more questions, starting with my concerns about how the NBA is handling COVID and how they're planning out these games, even despite losing players. Somebody was asking if I think I am too hard or we're being too hard on the Lakers because of how weird this year has been. I think that's an interesting question. And so I answered that one with a little bit longer of a question or a little bit longer of an answer. Somebody asked about the least successful or the few less successful Lakers players that they drafted and who aren't in the league anymore, given how many are still kind of out there in the NBA. It's a really fun show here. I hope you guys tune in and listen to the entirety of it, because the questions this week were fantastic. So we're going to go ahead and throw to that. Well, that is more like it. Why can't they just do that all the time? Wouldn't it be nice? The Lakers beat the Houston Rockets 120-102. And even that, like, it was nowhere near that close. It was never really close. The only time that they kind of messed around, the Lakers did, and, you know, the Rockets would get within 11 or 13 or whatever, and then the Lakers would go on a run and it would get up near 20 again. Yes, they could have, you know, really messed around and blown the Rockets out by 40 or whatever, but overall, that's the kind of effort that Pete and I were kind of looking for. Defensively, giving up only 102 points is pretty good. THT goes the hell off, and I believe by the end of the game was trending on Twitter. So, you know, generally speaking, it's going to be a pretty good game there. He goes for 17 points on 7 of 8 shooting, to go with 5 rebounds, 4 steals, and 3 assists. And look, I think he's super talented. I think he's really, really good. I'm really excited to see him do that. He's going to have games like this where he reminds you, oh yeah, that's right, that's why everybody was talking about him. And then he might disappear for a couple games, and that's what essentially your rookie is going to do. And that doesn't mean we have to enjoy this game any less or anything like that. It was just a really fun game from a really fun young player, and doing it against James Harden and the Rockets makes it even more delightful. I do, though, want to focus on Anthony Davis, who played some of the better basketball he's played so far this year. He played 30 minutes, scored 27 points, and was a game-high plus 29. Let's really quickly look at the most impressive games that the Lakers have played so far this year. You'll pick up on a trend. So when the Lakers beat the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas, AD goes for 28 points, 10 of 16 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and was a game-high, tied for a game-high, plus 16. He and LeBron tied. Minnesota, the one that the Lakers had against them, AD didn't play, but that was right after Minnesota had just lost Karl Anthony Towns. They thought for a significant amount of time and really kind of sleepwalked through that, so I'm not going to count that game. And then in another of the Lakers' kind of more impressive wins, they beat the San Antonio Spurs 121-107. And in that game, AD goes for 20 points on 9 of 15 from the field, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and was a game-high plus 17. In this one, again, 27 points, 9 of 12 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, which is great to see. He was a plus 29. And the reason I'm highlighting AD and the Lakers' most impressive wins is that, like, that's going to be the trend. This is something that I think it'll be really easy to identify this trend when the Lakers are going to look their best. Anthony Davis is going to be playing like the MVP candidate that he probably should be. The reason this kind of really sticks out is, like, you know what LeBron is going to bring, right? And even by LeBron standards, this was kind of a sit back and watch AD do his thing kind of game. But you know what LeBron is going to bring. What really makes the Lakers special, what really lifts the Lakers to just not even title contender, not even just title favorite, is when AD goes full on, oh my God, it's not fair that he and LeBron James are on the same team kind of level. And he did that tonight. Poor Christian Wood had this game circled. I would hope that the rest of the games that he circled for the Lakers, he circled in pencil so that he can maybe erase those games. But so far, this was about as impressive as Anthony Davis has looked. It was great to see it. And by the way, I think him looking that good allows Talen Horton-Tucker to be that good, right? It really unlocks Talen Horton-Tucker. It allows Montrezl Harrell to be as good as he was, right? Montrezl Harrell was a plus 15 off of the bench. So that I find interesting. And boy, isn't it nice to have Alex Caruso back? Like, good Lord. I just love the way he approaches the game. But yeah, that Talen Horton-Tucker playing really well was my biggest kind of takeaway from this because of how much fun it was to watch. And then the other takeaway here, and the bigger one, I think, is Anthony Davis playing to his kind of expectations and how much better it makes the Lakers. So on games that AD goes off, or not even just goes off, but just plays up to expectations, the Lakers are going to look their best, generally speaking. You might have some outlier games, but overall, if you're looking for the Lakers at their absolute best, at their absolute optimal level, it's going to be when AD just goes into God mode. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to answer your questions for segments 2 and 3. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% in the form of a deposit bonus, and you can use that however you choose to use it. Again, that is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% deposit bonus. And I gotta say, it's just I used BetOnline to have a little bit of extra fun on the football games this last weekend. Had a good feeling about the St. Louis Rams. Or the St. Louis Rams, the LA Rams. Wow, I must be the only person who has made that mistake in the last like year or so. It's been too long for me to do that. My bad. But yeah, I had some fun, and BetOnline makes it super easy to have said fun. Today's game of the day is going to be there are no lines quite yet because the games are still being played, and because of how much misunderstanding or the lack of understanding is out there regarding who is playing and which games are postponed and all of that. So as those lines become available, you know BetOnline is going to have them sooner than everybody else. It just says something about the entire situation that they don't. I think this kind of feels like a corner turner for the Lakers here. We've said that probably a couple times in the past, but I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable putting my money behind them, so long as AD realizes, like, oh, when I play like this, this is how good the team might look. So whenever the lines start becoming live and for the next Lakers game, I'll probably get behind the Lakers just to see if this is them kind of understanding, all right, it's time to really start caring here. Again, though, the only place you should be doing this is at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Let's get back to the show. All right, first question here comes in the form of an email. Quentin Brown writes, "Hey, Anthony and Pete, regarding your episode about the Capitol storming, I thought it was very well thought out, well articulated, and seemingly genuine, all of which are major aspects missing from conventional mass political media producers. Out of curiosity, as two NBA content creators, what drives your desire to expand your rhetoric to topics you don't typically cover? And for Anthony, what sparked the dissonance between you and those close to you when echo chamber type environments usually only breed conformity?" So I can only speak obviously for myself on this one. And when Pete comes here, I'll make sure to pick his brain on this. But for us, like we step outside the Lakers boundaries when the situation really calls for it. I don't think you get into this type of content creation without a bit of curiosity. So we're always kind of looking for new ways to kind of challenge our minds. But in terms of, you know, this content and this platform, when you have something happen that, affects the Lakers, it's first and foremost, right? Remember when the league chose agreed across the entire NBA to take a step back and not play that night, that affected the NBA. Pete and I had to talk about that. Or when it affects the entire country and we just feel like we would be remiss not to address it to a certain extent. Now, regarding my background and the dissonance that you ask about, I've always been pretty opinionated, as you guys will probably have figured out, but I've always kind of gone my own way. And, you know, sometimes I conform with that leads to conformity with the people around me. And I think there are some ways that being around the people who I have spent time around, that will impact the way I look at things. But generally speaking, like I don't really like just going with the flow. And you've probably noticed that in my coverage, right? Where everybody is celebrating or everybody's doing this, I'm generally, I kind of go against the floor. I don't do so on purpose. Like everything that I say, I legitimately really feel. It's just that I don't look for ways to kind of sit there and roll with the flow of information or the flow of opinions that surround me. It's just not really in my nature. And sometimes that is good for me. And sometimes it leads to overthinking. And it's just a matter of being aware of that as it is happening. Let's go to the next question here on Twitter. So at basketball writes, "Do you think the Lakers are good?" Man, that's a tough one. I know everybody thinks that the Lakers are good, and I just talked about the ways that I roll to the beat of my own drum. I think they're pretty good. Mia Fagan Agraviador, Harrison's wife, the better half of Harrison and Mia, asks, "Do you still doubt THT?" Yeah, I think I do. Does that get me in trouble? It's probably going to get me in trouble. But yeah, I still think that he's a very exciting 19 or 20-year-old player, and he will show flashes of being truly special someday. But right now, they're flashes, and it's just a matter of, you know, the way that you become the kind of player that reaches a point where being doubted sounds stupid is by bringing those gaps between those flashes, shrinking those gaps between those flashes as much as possible. So the flashes become the norm, the player becomes that kind of special, and here we are. But again, like that was just, it's so much fun to watch him do it because everybody else on the court is just like, oh my God, look at this dude. And, you know, he does it in very my player 2K kind of ways where you can see him like racking up points by taking a good jumper or racking up points by getting to the rim and stuff like that. But either way, like it's really fun to watch him do this. It's going to be one of the, you know, more enjoyable storylines this season, and I'm really happy that he showed out. It was great. I hope that the podcast host who got really angry at Alex Caruso playing well against them has another breakdown about THD. That'd be fantastic. Let's take one more quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up with a few more of your questions. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part, and that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Troy Jerome W. writes, big fan of the show. I've been feeling a bit lethargic lately. Can you please call me Wash so I can get my second wind to close out my semester with the rejuvenation of LeBron James and Wesley Matthews? I'm getting kind of nervous about this guy, Troy. You know, he's reaching the end of the semester. He might be experiencing early onset senioritis. I'm not sure what year he is in his college. The experience of college, and I'm just, you know, I'm a little nervous about him. I'm really nervous. So I hope that helps. Desmond Sr. writes, how much of an impact would you say fans in Houston had on the game tonight? It felt as if LBJ, AD and company had extra energy, felt like the closest thing to an actual game in a long time. Thanks, guys. I think it's a big factor. You know, now, should fans have been there? The numbers here in Texas probably indicate no, but you know what? Just in regards to answering the question as it was asked, I do think it had an impact. Jared Dudley tweeted right after the game that it was great to see Lakers fans there again. These NBA players, like, they do this obviously for the paycheck, and they do it for the fame and stuff like that, but also, like, they do enjoy hearing the roar of a crowd, and I think playing in cavernous arenas without that roar of the crowd and essentially playing in just silence, that would have to be really eerie, and I can see why this situation here would lead to some of the most energy that the Lakers have had to this point. They're already a really good road team, and, you know, getting to draw energy off of the opposing crowd is something that all of these great players, LeBron, AD, etc., that's something that they all really enjoy, and so I think you saw that in this last game. Now, again, I'm not sure it was necessarily smart to have fans there. I still get really iffy when I see fans in arenas, but again, I'm just answering the question as it was asked. Fantasy Thieves, right? Are you at all worried about having to play games with depleted rosters, which could affect seeding later on? I mean, I'm worried about everything about COVID right now in regards to the NBA. It feels like they're making up these protocols as they go along, that for some reason you aren't in close contact with players long enough during a game to really see the effects of potential transmittal. And, you know, I think that that is, I think obviously, I don't think that it's like they don't take scientists' advice at all into account. I just feel like that's kind of a galaxy brain explanation. Anybody who has watched any amounts of post defense would know that like these guys are in close contact constantly, maybe with guards, right? Because of the way that the game is called and how quick these guards are and the number of screens that you have to go through to be able to guard whoever has the ball on the perimeter. Like, okay, yeah, I get that. But in on the interior where you're boxing out constantly and you're always kind of jockeying for position, like there's constant close contact there. And just kind of making a uniform statement about who is at risk and who isn't based on the way that basketball is played, I think is a little iffy. Now, you know, I think they are kind of making it up as they go because we all are, even to this point. Like this started back in March, in terms of how it started affecting the league back in March. And from then to now, the league found a way to deal with all of this, but the way that it dealt with all of this was not something that the players' union was interested in doing again, and is not something that I don't think that the league was very interested in doing again. It costs a lot of money to go to Orlando. It makes it difficult to at any point get any fans in anywhere in the country, and I know owners were iffy about that. So. Or governors were iffy about that. So I think, you know, what the league is doing is finding a way to get through these last couple months before players are able to get vaccinated. And then at that point, you know, you're going to see some of these protocols just kind of go away. And I'm not smart enough to be able to definitively judge them either way. Let's go to the next one here. At CLoading9 writes, what role do you think THT will get by the time the playoffs come around? He's a dog and you can see that he wants it. What kind of role? I think he's always just going to be the 11th man. The Lakers have too many really, really good vets for him to really climb up in any significant way this season. Now, what does that mean for next year? What is his role going to look like next season? How will his emergence affect Alex Caruso's status on the team and the Lakers' willingness to bring him back? Like that, I think is a tougher question to answer. But for this season, in terms of rotation and all of that, I think he's the 11th man and he gets between 15 and 12 in 17 minutes a game would be my guess for the entirety of the year. Now, I take that back. Not for the entirety of the year, because I think the Lakers are going to be resting guys a lot. As you've seen across the entire NBA, everybody is trying to deal with COVID as best they possibly can. And what does that mean for everybody involved? Are guys going to miss time? And as guys miss time, THT will be able to slip in there and play a few more minutes on a regular basis than he, I guess, would for a typical season. But, you know, I think the Lakers are just loaded. It's the best roster in the NBA by a decent amount, I think, too. And on a typical team, THT would be playing 20, 25 minutes a night. And he would be allowed to fail in ways that, you know, would maybe allow him to grow a little bit quicker. But for this team and with this roster and this situation that the Lakers find themselves in, he's going to have to take a bit of a backseat, not a complete backseat. You know, I think his growth is a major priority for the Lakers, but it isn't, I don't think, as big a priority for the Lakers as it would be for most teams. Let's go. Clayton DeMarchi writing, do you see the pattern not only in the NBA, but Bayern Munich with soccer here in Brazil? Real Madrid, Barcelona, Milan. Aren't we going to get, are we going a little hard with the Lakers sometimes? Maybe it's impossible being regularly good with this crazy calendar. Maybe we'll see bad Olympics too. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to point that out. It's fair to explain why the Lakers' energy can sometimes wane from time to time. But I'm also not really cool with normalizing a team not trying. Effort is something that I think should be relatively constant and relatively consistent. And if I see that effort is really lacking, I'm going to say something about it. You guys would hate the show if it was just constantly, you know, apologizing for why the Lakers aren't really trying or don't appear to care night to night. Or it's not that they don't care on some nights. It's that like they care less on some nights than others. And if I didn't point that out, you'd sit here and say, like, are you paid by the team? Like, why aren't you, are you not watching what I'm watching? It wouldn't be a very good show if from time to time I didn't point out, hey, that guy hasn't made a rotation in like three quarters. Let's go a couple more questions here. Let's go one last one, I guess. I saw David Nwaba playing tonight, and it got me thinking about how the young prospects the Lakers have had are getting minutes all around the league. Can you list some of the ones that are currently out of the league? The only one that really comes to mind who just completely fell on his face is Anthony Brown. I really believed in him, the wing from Stanford. I thought the role that he was going to be sliding into was a relatively easy one to fill, 3-and-D wing, and he was a good shooter in college, but turns out that was not not in the cards for him. In terms of other players that the Lakers have drafted in recent years that just aren't getting minutes, there just aren't very many of them. The scouting department has done a phenomenal job at identifying talent. The frustration was before Phil Handy showed up, the development of that talent felt kind of lacking. So, you know, I also saw there was another question in here. It's like, is Mike Pinworthy more valuable to these Lakers than he was during the three-peat? And it's like, yeah, probably. You know, it's kind of crazy, but yeah, I think that is the case. So the Lakers really invested in player development and focusing on the details that it takes to be a really good NBA player. And you're seeing the result. It's been really fun to watch. It's just would have been nice to see those results a little bit earlier so that we could have seen, you know, Lonzo take the strides that he's taken while he was still a Laker, and B.I. take the strides that he's taken while he was still a Laker, and Julius Randle. Now, some of this development was always going to happen a little bit later in their careers because the Lakers were drafting, you know, B.I. was really young when he was drafted. Lonzo Ball only had the 1 year in college under his belt. Same goes for Julius Randle. Same goes for D'Angelo Russell. So some of the development that we saw after these guys left was always going to happen after they left because of the time that they left. But could we have seen more consistent flashes of that? And could they have been more consistent earlier on in their careers? That, I think, is the zillion-dollar question. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for your questions. They were really good this week. I really appreciate that. Also really good this week, also really good today, the Lakers. And it's a lot more fun to talk about them when they put me in this good of a mood. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Pete and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.